Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he gathers. And I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew, born in Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew. I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew. I was born in Indiana.
I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea. Nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Way.
We are Hebrew.
Over my sister.
Hallelujah. Shalom. Greetings from Straight Way, Tennessee. I am Sister Ashley Bell. Welcome to tonight's show. It will be me and all of you tonight. I asked Mother Jennifer to please sit out. Please sit out tonight. She's grilling. She's preparing for a large crowd. Straightway Tennessee Saints are coming to, I should say going, the Straightway Tennessee Saints are going to Straightway, Georgia. There's a few of us. I'll call some names because some of you are family. You know us by name. Those of us who are staying behind are the Flairmans, the Bajas, the Bells, and Nate and Sarah. So we're the ones that are sticking behind, taking care of greenhouse, goats, chickens, animals, and other things. But I'm excited that nothing can separate or tear apart the love. Hallelujah. And I'm grateful that the saints are getting an opportunity to join together. It's Straightway Tennessee's first trip together like that to get to go to Georgia. And if you heard Elder Rufus's broadcast, they'll be traveling to celebrate, if I can say celebrate, the multi-purpose building. It's a building that the brethren have put up with their hands. Lots of righteous hands have went into the building of it. And They're going to get to see it. Hallelujah. Hopefully enjoy their Sabbath there. I want to give my acknowledgments. Of course, we have 74 days until the Feast of Sukkot. I always ask my sister Sakina to keep me posted. She sits just feet away from me, the co-host of the show, so special thank yous to her as always. Bless all of you sisters that are still enduring the purging. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. So if we have 74 days until the Feast of Sukkot or the Feast of Tabernacles, then that means we have less than 74 days until Atonement and Trumpets. Always be mindful of the Most High's Feast. And if you don't know or if it'll be your first time keeping the feast with us, you can check out Leviticus 23. You can check out Teacher Eric Robinson on YouTube. He's a ordained teacher in the Straightway Ministries, and he offers some information about the feast days as well as Hanukkah, which we do not participate in, but he has great videos on what we do and why. You'll find great information, of course, on Pastor Charles Dowd Jr.'s YouTube page. So I'm thankful and acknowledge the Most High Yah who has gripped me with his fear. It is unexplainable. It is undeniable. It is not something I can give or share, but it is wrapped around me and it grips my soul. I bless his holy name for the remnant, for all who abide in his fear, who take this time very serious, though there be many false teachers, mockers, false doctrines. I glorify the Father for my husband who has a balance of discipline and expectancy in his home. And I'm really, really thankful to just for the family dynamic, you know, to live my life the way that I'm able to live it here with him. Glorify the Father for my shepherd. You know, shepherd has become an aged man of wisdom. I met him, what would he have been? He was, of course, in his 40s when I met him. But he's constantly evolving, you know, changing. He's also made innumerable decisions that continuously put others before him, and that is something that's never changed about him. So he's always and becoming an aged man of wisdom before our eyes. I'm thankful to know him. Remember to return curses. Elder Becker did a great broadcast about curses. If you find the link, you can post it, Sakina, but remember to return curses sent against him. I won't explain. For those who understand the language, you get it. Remember to give Yah the praise for your shepherd, for your husband. Remember to praise him and worship him for what you don't understand. We have a shepherd who would die for the truth and who would die for each of you. Greetings to the community women and every woman who travels weekly or even yearly or monthly to the communities. You are beloved of Yah. I bless you. Bless the Hale family, some of the neighboring sisters, Bobby, Charmaine, Narissa, Marshayla, Amanda, Nicole Moore. Bless y'all, Krista, everyone who's able to travel around. I can name you all. I won't. I don't believe I reaped enough praise on Brother Ron and Brother Will Fairley. Some of you didn't know that we had a fish fry. And it was Izzy's graduation that Brother Will Fairley and Brother Ron, Will is over Promised Land, Straightway Promised Land here in Tennessee in a different location. And then Brother Ron is in Tennessee over Straightway Clarksville. Brother Steve was also there. He's over a house in Clarksville. So I'm calling the heads names. But every sister that helped, every sister a part of those homes, bless you all. It was a really beautiful time. So they came out for Israel's graduation. They had even a Brother Mario who worked many hours on wrapping up some red snapper in banana leaves and seasoned it really nice. Worked really hard on putting that together. And then we just had Brother Chris and Sister Tina and, of course, Renee and the whole family, Brother Will, bless you all. My family specifically, you know, Deacon's home has a wonderful time when we go to the summer party, the tropical party, the everything. You know, it's just a summer party. And the children talk about it for months because she puts it out in enough, you know, advancement that those who can come, they have a huge pond And so it was fun, huh?
Yeah.
Yes. Is that Tammy's voice?
Yes.
Tammy! She said I could not come. Tammy was going to be such an empty void, and tonight you wasn't going to be here. Tammy, come over to the mic. I've never praised Brother Chris and Tina enough. Renee, all of you, bless you. Chance, all y'all that put in effort. It's really, really fun. What did you love about it? What did you remember about it? Just say something. This is really a wonderful time. It's worth being talked about.
The fellowship.
The fellowship.
Yes, it was really nice. I loved it. It's really like a family. It feels like you're just with your big family.
Yes.
The food was really good.
The food was really
good.
Those
meatballs, Marshayla.
Good job, they say. Everything.
The
hot dogs, great job. Yeah, the boat race. We had a boat race. We had a water slide set up on the side of his house.
Yeah.
I don't know, is it 50 feet maybe? Yeah. Let's just say something like that. 50 feet, constant decline, a couple little humps and bumps in it, and it goes straight into like maybe a 3-foot water pool at the end. And they got the hose on it. They got the dish soap making it slippery. Me and Deacon Bell got together on a big, they got a ton of, what are those things?
Floaties,
but they're huge, you know, like 2-3 person, you know, shaped like pizza slices, shaped like ducks. Flamingos. You can sit on anything. Yeah, they had a boat race. Brother Allen and Brother Jordan had the most humorous, unsuccessful boat race ever, getting nowhere fast. And it was a wonderful time, and I really wanted to take a moment to share our many thank yous because it takes a lot of time to put it together. Thank you to the decorating crew. Sister Susie, if you don't know Sister Susie, Brother Tristan's family, they really work. I mean, they really, really work. They have a beautiful go-getter mentality. I always see her moving. She's like that perfect, or I say she, because it's a sister show, and she's the one I'm with. But Brother Trish and his whole family, they have that perfect community quality, you know, that you look in. And potentially they'll have their own. Who knows which way their life will lead them. But homesteader mind, you know, go get an agricultural mind. And if you knew their background, it's pretty impressive coming from where they came from. And I won't go into that. But, hey, Tammy, I was going to give you a shout-out. Before you sit down, say hi to who you wanted to say hi to.
Bless you, Amara. I love and I miss you.
Hallelujah. Sister Deira types in the chat room, excellent time. And then we also have our brother segment with Elder Becker 6:13:21 called Returning Curses. That's in the chat room. Sister Mama Deidre, great to see you. We love seeing you. We don't see you enough. We'll have to come to you next, right? Set up a slide in your yard. Thanks to the cleanup crew, even if it was just Tina and Renee. Bless y'all. You got a lot going on. They grow so much. You do so well on a farm with just a family and a few extra hands, you know. You do a great job. They share collards with us all winter long. We receive greens from them, potatoes, all sorts of things they'll share with us. So I really, really appreciate that. Let's kick it off. So tonight, what is that, Tammy?
The Law of Iniquity, Your Bloodline Curses.
Yes, I brought a newsletter called The Law of Iniquity, Your Bloodline Curses. It was written by me. I've never read it on the show or talked about it, so I'm going to talk about it tonight. Also had a question about bestiality. I'll discuss that. And a couple of, hopefully, I'm not overwhelming the show time by my fillers here because I don't have my partner, Mother Jennifer. Blessings to her, Mother Rufus's home, Georgia. Every one of you, thank you so much in advance for all that you're doing. I know what it takes, and I know what it's like to have the excitement and the hospitality that's required to receive the saints. So bless you. I have a clip I want to play from Pastor. Bless you, Tammy, for coming. You told me you weren't going to be here, and it was an empty space, wasn't it, Sakina?
No problem.
No comment, she said. Hey, let's get started. I hope I've given the Most High Yah enough praise. Every show that I do, Abba Yahweh is for you, and that's the truth. Hey, all newsletters can be found on straightwaytruth.com. I mean, I could have printed any of them, but it wouldn't do it any justice to read some of them without being the person who wrote it. You know, and the reason I chose this particular Bloodline Curse newsletter is because of the, how would I say it, the pattern I'm noticing in the spiritual realm in the past month or so discussing demonic spirits on our show, specifically incubus and succubus, sexual sins, and really once we opened that can of worms, it's been really phenomenal. Dialogue, there's been some freedom. There's also been some guilt, shame, and condemnation surface, because once you recognize what you've been suppressing for so long, oftentimes that guilt, shame, and condemnation will let you know a sin is there. So brought it. I'm going to read from it. I think I want to start with a clip from last Shabbat. If any of you or many of you don't know, I try my very best to represent my husband's house and to represent Pastor Dow. And I'm taking a huge step of faith here to try to explain what my shepherd is meaning and his intention when he talked to us on Sabbath in a particular way. I want to use it as an example of how we should hear. And I want to try to help you think correctly when you're listening to him. Because you can hear with so many walls, stumbling blocks, experiences, you know, taking everything so literal that misapplying his intentions. He's a very misrepresented man. He's a very accused man by the forces that we fight, by the realm that we fight, spiritual wickedness in high places. And so without talking with him or to him, I don't have dialogue with him often. It's been years since we've actually spent one-on-one time together, and that's the truth. When I was young, you know, I came in, I was 27, but I literally came in as a young girl in mind, and I'm a woman now. His goal as a shepherd, you've heard him say it before, is he wants to be at a place where he's no longer needed, and he can be at that place, but we can have a great need. And so the more that we mature up and get in one mind and depend solely upon the Father in him, you know, ministering to us, doing the things that he's doing, we won't pull from his anointing and pull from his virtue. We'll be going with him in his mind. I shouldn't say with him, in his mind. We'll be going with him in this journey as he follows Christ in one mind. And so I thought, hey, when I heard it and you can feel the dynamic of how it's interpreted, you know, we're spiritual beings. And then it came up in conversation, and I was asked a couple of different times. So I can see that that pattern is, hey, let's discuss this and throw it out there and try not to misrepresent anything spoken. So I'm going to take just a moment to do that first. Please give me sound checks as I pull up YouTube. We're going to go to Sabbath service. We're on the Straightway Tech Team YouTube channel, okay? Last Shabbat service was called Speaking Words of Faith, Declarations. It was edifying, huh, Sister Sakina?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
What was the word you told me earlier today when you said you got to re-listen to it? You said it was very uplifting? Or it was a really powerful word. I liked it. Okay.
Yes.
Sabbath service 6-26-21. I'm going there. Please tell me if you can't hear me. I'm going to start around the 46-minute mark, and I think I'm going to stop at 53 minutes, okay? So what is that? It's over 5 minutes, right? So let's go there. Hallelujah. Tune in.
To keep your body up, to keep yourself as an area conducive for the Holy Spirit to be able to be a conductor. You be a conductor to be used at any time. And you can't do that when you sashaying over here, being a hypocrite over here, some timing over there, no commitment over here, no relationship over here, half-assed prayer over here. Watch it. I'm telling y'all something. Watch it. All right, we'll see how spiritual I am, right? Watch it. All right, I got three sides, right? Ask them how often or how much do they ever hear me pray. Ask them.
All right, taking a moment of time to ask them, how often?
One more time.
They say never, rarely, ever, never.
How many times do you ever hear me speaking in tongues at home?
We don't.
Woo-wee! Yeah. been married. Come on, Mom Carol. How often do you ever hear me pray?
Over 30 years. Rarely.
Do you know I'm praying?
Yes.
Look. Look at that. And wait a minute. And some of you, boy, you up early in the morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you come back out in front of your wife? Yeah. Oh. I just got trying to spend time with y'all. No, you didn't. You just got to spend time with yourself. I'm only trying to help. That religious spirit on me. They know a few times that I definitely do not disturb me. I wake up in the, if they wake up in the morning and see that the office door closed, they know, damn. But I gotta get something.
He's in his office, can't go
damn.
In. Gotta go in.
But I gotta get something.
Yep.
They don't just open up the door like gangbusters come in and go. And then they'll see me look up. Don't you? They'll see me look up and they're like, oh, shit. Can I just...
trying to grab something.
Yeah. Look, I'm looking. But I can tell you one thing. They know I'm praying. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll give you another secret that you hear all the time. Whatever you do in secret. Hold on. Y'all are going to reward you. Some of you ain't doing nothing in secret. That's why you ain't getting no reward over. Don't you know it's an honor and a privilege to be used of Yah? How many times have we ever had, where's Nelly at?
No.
He's married, okay. Well, I got two witnesses, right?
All right, two.
How many times have we ever had family prayer time?
Never.
How many times?
Never. The women in his life are
so good. Look at them, just look at them. Say something, because everybody can't read this. They can't hear this. You out here with all these focus on the family cliches. A family that prays together, stays together, all this shit. I'm not saying you don't do that. You're the priest of your home. I'm just saying there's something wrong.
Pause. Y'all caught that, right? I'm not saying don't do that. You are the priest of your home. But I'm saying something's wrong. Let's go back.
There's some serious hypocrisy in this shit. There's a foul religious spirit going on. Because you can go through all those motions and do all those things. And yet and still, there you go. No fruit. No, none. Zero, zero, nada. With all your religious stirring up. That ain't yours. You know, somebody say, you know what? I'm going to stop doing like that. What do you mean you doing like that now anyway? You ain't getting no results. Uh-oh. Go ahead. Let's call it enough. Wherever your treasure is, where's your treasure at? Uh-oh. There will be your, what's the next word? Your appetite. no passion, no seed of emotion. Some of your treasure is in anger. Some of your treasure is in depression. Some of your treasure is in earthly things. Some of your treasure is, let me do this to get this. So now the secrets of the heart are being revealed. In other words, your religious spirit, your hypocrisy, it ain't working.
Key point. Your religious spirit, your hypocrisy is not working. All right, so I just wanted to use that dynamic of his teaching for an example that you can take something very literal and make drastic changes, right? For women, maybe you've been wanting your husband to pray with you, and maybe you've got some clarity on why it's not always necessary. He spoke of, you know, foul religious spirits, no fruit. Maybe a man is praying with his family and needs to. Pastor would never speak against it. Remember when I said that Pastor was an aged man of great wisdom, right? He's been through many stages and seasons way before each of us. If you know anything about the stages and the seasons of Yah, you go through worship seasons, seasons of great need, gratitude seasons, seasons of tears and lamenting, seasons of trial and fasting. So what he's talking about or teaching is not changing a dynamic that is in the Word. What did Paul say? I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. He said, covet to prophecy and forbid not to speak in tongues. Right? So I'm just going the other way so you understand the balance. When he speaks a certain way and he hits a certain spirit, there's no need to go so far left that we forget. Well, didn't David say, in my distress, I call upon Yah? I cry unto Yah? He heard me with my voice? I'm talking to the sisters who are saying, wow, well, maybe am I just emotionally praying? Maybe, but David said, hear the righteous Yah and attend to my cry and give ear unto my prayer. He was begging him. This is a communication in his soul. I've heard Brother Daniel even declare it's a beautiful thing to wake up to hear the prayers of the righteous in Goshen. Right? So I'm just giving both dynamics. David said, the righteous cry and Yah hears and delivers him out of all his troubles. So let me cry and let my cry come unto you. Isaiah said, cry out and shout. For great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. He's not saying don't pray. He's not saying don't speak in tongues. He's not saying don't cry. That's how far we go when we hear it. You can feel the whole dynamic. Lamentations, one of my favorite chapters, chapter 2, arise and cry out in the night, in the beginning of the watches, and pour out your heart like water before the face of the Most High. Lift up your hands towards him for the life of your children. And even the Messiah who said, hey, I'll tell you what, if these men right here hold their peace, the stones will cry out. You know? So you have to hear a balance. If he's hitting a dynamic of a spirit, it doesn't mean stop praying or stop crying. I hope that helps. Does that help, Sakina?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Remember when there's all sorts of times that I'm going to go back to the stages of prayer, right? Because pastor's development and being a leader in his dynamics, very different. You might be in a stage where you are in continual prayer constantly. You might be crying out for you or your family, your children. You might be crying out for the men or the leaders. You might be crying out for all of Israel. You might be crying out just for deliverance because you're bound, you know, and you don't understand. You might be bound with disease or sickness or inflictions of the skin, you know, and you are needing to reach heaven. So you want purposeful prayers. You don't want, of course, a religious spirit. You don't want an emotional show. You want to bear fruit, but you don't want to base it off of, okay, I can't sit in my seat and hear pastor this way and say, oh man, I must be the one. I'm praying that way. You know, I'm praying like he's saying, it must be me. If it's not you, don't wear the shoe, you know. Like you said, you can accuse yourself of thoughts when you know the thoughts don't generate from you. And And there's a season and a stage in your maturity that you will get to that you completely separate yourself from the thoughts that try to bind you to your flesh. The things that are not of you, the things that are not like Christ, and the things that are not what you want to be is not you, which is why I wanted to bring up the bloodline curses, you know, the sins of iniquity, the law of iniquity, the newsletter. So there were times throughout the Word where Ezra proclaimed a fast, and he said, Ezra 8:21, that we might afflict ourselves before the Most High to seek him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. Now, let me go back with the, let's just say, for example, I'm hearing pastor wrong. Oh, I don't need to fast. You know, I don't need to lead my family to fast. And he's not saying that. Satan's got a great attack upon the Word, trying to misconstrue it and misrepresent the vessel, you know, that's speaking so purely. And Esther even, you know, declared a fast that she would either neither drink or eat night or day. It was her and her maidens, and they fasted together, all right, and they went unto the king so that they wouldn't perish from the dynamics of what was happening in their land. They got together. Isaiah said, hey, fast. But if you go to Isaiah 58, and I really like the Common English Version, you say you're fasting for strife and debate. You know, you're fasting for the wrong reasons. So let's say, for example, pastor came out hypothetically, and he's teaching us as a people. You're fasting for the wrong reason. You ever heard him say that? He says, you ain't fasting, you're starving yourself. Right? So that doesn't mean stop fasting if you are getting fruit, if you are bearing fruit. Right? This is the dynamic that each of us have with our Creator, where you trust in him, you have faith, you abide in him, and you do what you do for him, and you allow the Word to build you up in your relationship with the Father, and you don't allow the enemy to hinder. You know, I've known communities that fast together. I've known communities that don't. Homes that do, homes that don't. Sisters that fast together, sisters who aren't allowed to. You know, the dynamics are all across the board. It's no right, wrong, this, that. I just wanted to initiate this thought so that you would know there is a purpose for fasting. And Isaiah said, is this the fast that you've chosen, that you would afflict your soul for this, that you would, you know, bow down your head, spread out your sackcloth and ashes, and call this a fast, and say it's chosen for the reasons that you're choosing? Or would you go over here and say, hey, I'm fasting to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, set the oppressed free, and break heavy yokes? I'm giving up. I'm, you know, for an example, he even used in that account, like, it ain't just fasting and starving yourself. It was actually still making the bread and the meals, but sharing it, giving it to the poor, giving it to somebody else. A dynamic of community for a moment. I'll pause. It should be in our hearts that you don't want to go through the line and just grab the last piece of bread, the last scoop of something without considering. That's how we are as a people. Two or three of us jump in line to get seconds, and hey, there's one of something left. We're going to look at each other and say, hey, did you want this before I grab it? And then you'll even see the dynamics. Yeah, I did. Please take it. Oh, no, you take it. Oh, please take it. No, you take, you know, because there's such a humility that's required at that eating table, at that bar. A lot of things change when you live together, when you begin to consider others, you know, and that's in Isaiah 58, even for fasting purposes. He was really saying that there's a purpose that you would do it, and it's no different than our shepherd who's saying, if you're praying, there's a purpose that you're doing it, you know. He said, I'm not saying don't ever do this, you know. So, yeah, I wanted to talk about that. I wanted to bring up David, and I wanted to bring up Esther, and I wanted to bring up these people in the Word that prayed and fasted. And as I said, even Paul, who says, I thank my God I speak more than you all with tongues, you know, that you would forbid not to speak in tongues. Don't, for every reason, pastor is a representation of this Word across the board. So if he's saying to do or not to do, it's purposeful. Everything's purposeful. And it's to make the impact that the Word of the Most High Yah is trying to make. And if you've ever been bound by a voice before, an accusation before, or a temptation before. The Most High Spirit doesn't function that way when he's convicting you. Try every spirit to see if it be a Yah. You got something you think you need to be doing? What kind of push is behind it? The Most High doesn't bring pressure. He brings conviction. You know, so you learn those dynamics. And so our shepherd has been through every stage imaginable to us where we're at, right, with what he's teaching and the changes and the ministering that he has. So the prophet said, if there's fire in my bones, I got to let it out. Daniel said, I got to open the window. I got to cry out. Man, some of y'all, you're in a state of purging. Why pretend that you're okay? Why stop praying or crying out or stop fasting because pastor he never heard speaking in tongues? Man, you over here on your face, feeling perishing in a totally different season. You not marvel? Let's just hypothetically, Chef. Brett and Tia's getting married, right? What a beautiful time. Those two are united in a beautiful season and a journey, right? You know how many people were sitting in the chairs burning and being purged in a totally different season? The Father purging, you know, wickedness out of this one, iniquity out of this one, right? This one's getting free from lust because they want it. They covet it. You know, the dynamics of spiritual warfare is off the chain. The seasons are not all the same. You know, some for joy, some mourning. And so when you're on your face and it's you and the Father, you're building your faith for his purpose in you. He's finishing what he started in you. Doesn't matter if, oh, everybody's going one way. Everybody's, so you think. That's what the enemy presents it a certain way. Everybody in here feeling the fire, y'all?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Hallelujah. You know? So I hope y'all understand that's just the dynamics of being one body. So let's move on. Do I know anything about bestiality? I don't think it would be very wise to discuss the very detailed situations and circumstances that I've been in deliverance with others. I do wish, I don't like to use the word wish either, so forgive me. I would enjoy speaking face-to-face with someone who needed the information. It's not something that I would want to hold back. And the reason I even mentioned the question on the show, you know, why would you ask the question on the show and not answer it? Well, we know the law, Leviticus 18 and 20, that you shall not lie with beasts and defile yourself. You, neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down with her, lie down with it, it's confusion. And if a man lie with a beast, he was put to death. And you should slay also the beast. And if the woman approached unto a beast to lie down with it, then you shall kill the woman and the beast. You shall surely be put to death, and the blood will be upon both of them. Now, the reason I want to talk about it is because I believe it is such a powerful, iniquitous curse from ancestors. Not everybody, but some, just like incubus and succubus. If it's something that is standing out to you, if it's something that's, you know, I'm speaking to those who are guilty of the acts, okay? I'm speaking to those who have accomplished things with animals that you could never imagine, right? And then, and of course, there's those who, what? I've never heard of that. That's insane. That I would never, right? But depending on ancestral curses or sins, your temptations are all different. The things that present themselves to us, the journey to freedom is the same. But the iniquity that binds us all is all unlawful, and it can be all different. So I just want to take a brief moment to discuss it because it's another, if I can say, can of worms that will actually set women free, because I know the dynamics of deliverance and how freeing it has been, even discussing some of the demonic presences that we've said just recently in our show. Now, if you don't know, I'm saying these purposely. I hope I'm being clear. I'm saying these things that you would be able to renounce and repent for the forefathers and ancestors that went on before you that committed any of these things. Zoophilia is a more modern name of bestiality. And, of course, if it's in Leviticus, you know it was happening or had the potential to happen from the very beginning, right? It was depicted in hieroglyphics, paleo script, on what Europeans call rock art. But there were depictions of humans and animals and sexual content, so it is real. And with the experience of those I've spoke to, believe me, it is so real. And the way that it binds you now, let's say, for example, I'll just use one circumstance that I'm familiar with. One sister who had never known or was aware, she knew that she knew one of her family members was involved in something very strange with the animals in her house. But for her, she grows up and she forms what we call an inordinate affection for animals, where you can actually develop soul ties and bonds with animals. You can feel as they feel, and you can respond to them as if they have the emotions of a human. And you know our culture is huge on inordinate affection for animals. You know, it's the from the hospitals and the vets to the vans to the care that they actually give the beast that, hey, before modern, I'll go back to Mother Stallings. Mother Stallings, in her day, and she was raised on the West Coast in Oklahoma, and I always share with y'all, on a sharecropping farm or a cotton field, a plantation, okay, no beast was allowed anywhere near humans. They literally had a function of caring for the other animals. So to fast forward to the care that we now give them, it's different. And I think we as saints can do it in a great balance, because the word even talks about caring for your beast. You know, there's a way that you should actually care. You should not mistreat your animal. There's a verse, I don't have it with me, but if you find it, Chef, you can post it tonight, that you should not mistreat your beast, okay? So I'm definitely not saying that that's right, but the dynamic of an animal couldn't even come up on the porch where she was raised, and in that time era, totally different area of the United States. So this particular woman was free, or has gotten free, by the blood and the power of the Lamb, by the forgiveness of sins and bloodline curses that her family's committed with beast, that she was actually functioning in with an inordinate affection. So if you have that dynamic, I'm definitely not saying it was because of bestiality, but maybe it was. So if you have an inordinate affection towards your animal, that's something you need to deal with the father. And then most definitely don't misdiagnose yourself, as I discussed just briefly some of these things. You know, only the father knows what your family has done, how to set you free, and how to walk you along that journey. So sometimes you just take these little puzzle pieces and please don't misapply. So bestiality remains illegal in most countries and against most religions, but there are places that you can actually travel and go to get married to a beast. How to marry your pet is all over online. What you do to... it even says it's a spiritual thing. That's what it says, it's a spiritual thing. You know, years ago there was an episode on TV show called Boston Legal, and the drama was broadcasted on ABC, and one of the lawyers was asked to actually defend a client whose wife wanted their marriage annulled because her husband had had sexual relations with a cow. It is very... clear in ads, even billboards, you know, that this dynamic, this zoophilia is everywhere. There's beast porn sites, very disgusting things that you can find everywhere and anywhere. And human sexual attraction towards animals is a huge problem. It really is. I know for the majority of our listeners, probably not, absolutely not, sounds insane. But I think discussing it and just putting it out in the air will spark some thought. It says that as many as 8 to 10% of sexually active adults have had significant sexual experience with animals at some point in their life. So it says 10%. I don't know where they get that. But there's a whole country you can go to marry whatever you want to marry. And, of course, it's a terrible abomination, according to our law. In the this right here says, let me read this. According to Wikipedia, okay, most modern societies condemn bestiality. It's seen as a crime against nature. Primitive societies were ambivalent about humans having sexual acts with animals. But the Hittite laws provide an example of this. It says in their law, Hittite law, all right, and this was like Indo-European people who lived in Turkey, says if a man has intercourse with a cow, it's a capital crime, he shall die. People have actually, countries have had to make very strategic laws against it because it is a push from the Hashatan. It is a push. He mocks all of creation. So not to over-speak about it, it's out there. And if you have heard of, it happened in 2014, but my sister and granny Diane had found a short article of a church leader in Missouri who was out of a job after being arrested for allegedly trying to arrange a sexual encounter with a dog. He was 56 years old, and he was on suspicion from his job for an attempted unlawful sex with an animal and attempted animal abuse, which is what they called it. But the authorities had begun investigating him, and they got a tip from Craigslist that he was looking for animals for sex. Okay, so I know it's sickening. I would never even imagine bringing it up, honestly, on the show, but this is Satan. This is what he does. If we don't drop it out there, and it allows women to come out of the shame, you know, it allows them to fight and to resist what they've seen, witnessed, or been a partaker of, and more times than not, something so damaging is in their history or in their ancestors. So remember, if a woman was to approach into a beast and lie down with it, that woman was to be killed, and the beast too, they were to be put to death. Blood would be upon them. So I think that's enough discussion. If I'm going to go over to the Law of Iniquity and the Bloodline Curses newsletter, if you guys, my sisters, have any questions about it, please let me know. Please type it in the chat. I got a call. All right, I'm going to a call. Let's see. Area code 615. Hallelujah. All right. I don't know if, yeah, area code 615, you might accidentally press the number. You're in my caller queue. There's some background noise that I didn't want to continue to allow on airtime. So if you do me a favor, if you want to hear from me, ask me something or talk to me, please hang back up. And then press 1 again, okay? Because you being in my caller queue, you're still there because I just muted you, if that makes sense. All right, so, man, how did me writing a newsletter come about? I actually, this is what it was. I had it pressed on my heart years ago, maybe 2 years ago, I don't know, that we in this ministry have more knowledge. I've attained, just personally, I've attained more deliverance knowledge than I've ever read in a book. I've attained more experience and kind of, if you could say, puzzle pieces in this maze and intricate network of spiritual warfare. I've gotten those things from being linked with this ministry and the power of this ministry, the fruit of this ministry. And it was on my heart to write. I just wanted to write a story that I had helped a sister. And some of the bloodline things that was showing up and that was revealed in her deliverance along the journey and along the way. And I my husband initiated, told me to chat with a pastor to see if it was a good idea to just toss together, similar to a Win Worley pamphlet, if y'all have seen them, if we had the time or even the initiation or the command on us to write these pamphlets, we would. I would join in and help. You know Elder Beckwith got experience. You know Teacher Shane's got experience. You know, Mama Vicky was an old shoe with deliverance. Grandma Barb, you know, with these experiences and some of the things that tie in that you just can't find in books, you know. So I went and asked, could I publish this sister's journey anonymously, of course. It was going to be very short, similar to a Win Worley pamphlet, because, let me pause there. If I could publish this, I would be passing them out at a feast day, you know, And he was like, just throw it in the newsletter. Throw it in the newsletter, and we'll post it. We'll have Brother Steve post it. So thank you to Brother Steve, he did. And there's, you know, there's a story behind every newsletter you can check out. Brother Scott wrote one, and Elder Becker's written them. And, I mean, you could grab different saints and say, hey, write this, and they would do it very successfully. So we have a very thorough education towards the spiritual realm and many other topics. But here I go. I'm going to read it, and with me jumping around, I hope that I don't speak too fast, and I hope I don't cause any form of questioning or confusion. You might have something new initiated into your mind for the first time. It might spark thought. Maybe you've read it. Maybe you didn't even know it existed, but I would ask Sister Sakina or Tammy to please be there to ask or even stop me and say, hey, what about this, you know? That if I skip a big portion of this while I jump through these pages and it doesn't line up, I might not catch it as the speaker because you're the listener. So it says the law of iniquity, and there's a reason I called it the law of iniquity. Some of these things were just pressed upon me when I sat down to write out her story, and it just kept getting longer. But the law of iniquity is different from the law of sin and death. You know, and I just titled the law of iniquity because iniquity is still permitted even after you come into the faith, even after you apply the blood of Jesus to your life, even after you change your conscience, even after, you know, your sin is atoned for, there's still iniquity. And so that's why I call it the law of iniquity, because it's a spiritual law, it's a spiritual dynamic that you can't escape. You can't, even if a woman leave us, she's bound by law. That's what Paul says. You're bound by law as long as you live. If a man was to depart, he's bound by law as long as he lives. What do you mean? Because this law goes throughout all the earth forever, you know, whether you abide by it or not. It's going to follow you, and it's going to be your judgment when life is over. And so in Exodus 34:7, keeping mercy for thousands is talking about our Creator, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and he will by no means clear the guilty. He visits the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. And that should be pretty fearful if you're a father or if you're a child, if you're a mother, if you have, you know, of course you're the seed of another man, your father. And so that iniquity, that law of iniquity is in effect. So I introduced the newsletter by saying that the Straightway Truth Ministry is the avenue that the Almighty Yah is using as a witness of his truth here on earth. And his truth binds his righteous kingdom to our hearts and condemns the world of sin. Now the truth that we have freely received in this ministry is within reach to everyone and all individuals that are willing to live a set-apart life and turn from the iniquity of your heart. And the kingdom that we all so patiently await for is expressed right here at this ministry by the fruit of Yahweh's Spirit that is present in each of us, chiefly our under-shepherd, Pastor Charles Dow Jr. Now, we desire that every heir to the throne of grace be free. And that's my honest cry. If I could give you my freedom, I would. But I say here that we desire that every heir to the throne of grace be free from the bondage of sin now and by the tools of Christ that's been given to us now. And by the power of the blood of Jesus, your freedom is within reach. So you can ask yourself, do I really want freedom? You know, and it's up to you and you to get it for yourself. And the straight and narrow way is within reach. It's not just a ministry. The straight way is not just a ministry. It's a vision. It's a narrow path. It's a expression of our King's love and mercy. And the Straightway Ministry is a selfless assembly of people supposed to be representing Christ and not misrepresenting him. And our shared goal of growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, is being reached, even if it's on a small scale, tens, twenties, hundreds. Straightway is the name given to the path that we walk on. And we here at Straightway agree with all truth, and we dispel all lies. And I really didn't want anything on these pages to pass over you if it was something that would bless you. So let's skip that part. 1 Kings 8:47 says, if they shall think themselves in the land where they were captives and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carry them captives. They would say, we have sinned and have done perversely. We have committed wickedness. Okay, so you can find this repentance as far back as 1 Kings in the land that they were carried away captive to. They were repenting and making supplication. So let's go back to even Shabbat's sound clip. If this is where you are in that season of sincere repentance, Nehemiah 9:2 said, the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. Pause. They stood up. They confessed their sins. This is Nehemiah's day. This is hundreds of years ago. They stood up. They confessed their sins. And what else did they confess? The iniquities of their fathers. That's part of the package. So you don't want to just repent for what you know you've done. There's a record throughout our word that you would also repent for the iniquities of your fathers. I hope this is helping. Jeremiah 32 says, ah, Yahweh, behold, you have made the heaven and the earth by your great power and your stretched out arm. There's nothing too hard for you. You are showing love and kindness unto thousands and recompensing the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. You are the great and mighty God. The Lord of hosts is your name. All right, so he's visiting this iniquity. It's going on right before our eyes. So I say here to take your time to consider the proof that iniquity is inside of you. Okay, so right here, if you can imagine all of heaven, demons and angels, Yah, the Messiah, the whole dynamic, all of heaven. You know, you've heard pastors say that earthly sin is open scandal. You know, hidden earthly sin is open scandal in heaven, because if you just had to have that checklist that said, you know, what is proof that iniquity is inside of me, or what about this thought, and this temptation, and that, you know, and just go down through that list, like, man, it's there. So just like those of you who are experiencing deliverance, when you get a demon cast out, you also shed the thought that it gave you, and you shed the memory that it held in you. So I tell sisters, I'm casting a memory out. I'm going after a spirit. I'm calling the spirit by name, but I'm casting a memory out. You shed a memory. You shed an emotion. You shed a feeling. You shed a thought. You get cleaner every time. Don't pretend to be clean when you're bound day after week after day after week, and the law of iniquity is being visited upon you, and you're not being broken. And the proof that the great and mighty Yahweh has recompensed the iniquity of your father into your bosom or into the bosom of your children after you is also determined by the demonic manifestations inside your human anatomy, inside your body. So we can't, this is open scandal in heaven. In my newsletter, I say, consider the following human anatomy paragraphs, which I'm going to read, to determine the proof that you or someone you know is in bondage to iniquity. And a demonic presence is inside of your body, proving that iniquity is binding you. All right? Brother Steve did a great job. He broke it down here. It says countenance. And I write, your countenance can appear years older than you are. Your facial expressions, your voice fluctuations, and your vocal organs can be interfered with and can be greatly hindered. Your speech, there may be a temporary or a permanent disconnection between words in your mind and words you're trying to speak. And the mind and body disconnection can frustrate you, so your memory can be greatly affected. There are innumerable effects on your speech, singing, praying, your eyesight, or your hearing. Now remember, me reading this is not diagnosing anything. So try to hear past anything that you have going on so that you can really attain or, you know, sponge and absorb all of this, and then listen to what the Spirit is saying to you if he's speaking, you know. This is one example is over-talkativeness, in which floods of words will rush your mind and your speech can be overwhelming to the listener. But another example is the desire to speak, But the mind, or even your tongue, is greatly hindered in developing the words that are desired to communicate, proving that your mind and your tongue can be in bondage. Another example is you will withdraw from crowds, you'll withdraw from your family and your friends, deep cycling habitual depressions or seasons and natures that you can't control. This is all demonic bondage. Some evil spirits act directly through one's body organs, suppressing your appetite or even increasing your appetite. It's not even you. They can be buried deep within the frame and fabric of your DNA, causing deformities or mental instabilities as early as birth. Many evil forces affect your skin and your senses, your emotions and your affections. The location of evil spirits is similar in all body forms and types, doesn't matter child, woman, or man. The locations of evil spirits include the list that I'm about to read, but they are not limited to these spots. I just listed some. The spinal column, the nervous system, the deepest nerve centers of your colon. Your whole being can be controlled from the cerebral nerve center that's in your head, your eyes, your ears, your neck, your jaws, the muscles of your face, or the intricate nerve tissues of your brain. It can all be controlled. Your cerebral nerve center can be controlled by evil spirits. Your memory can be affected, and there are innumerable effects to, guess what, there's even denial. All the effects which are often obvious to one person or one victim can easily be unconscious to another victim and go completely undetected. So you can clearly see something about someone else. They can't see it. They can clearly see something about you that you can't see. You know, and the undetected spirits are based on the individual's acceptance of whether he or she is in bondage to a spirit. So you want to know that you're getting set free. You want to plow away. You want to, you know, pray and go through the seasons of prayer. You want to always keep a thankfulness about it. Never be overwhelmed, because all this knowledge is for your benefit. It's to show you how loved and you are. And denial is mental only. So remember, the body proves that the manifestations are happening and can't be hidden, and the mind can just be in bondage and complete denial. So the undetected spirits are based on the individual's acceptance of whether he or she is in bondage. And you can't make someone accept their bondage. And you can't control it. So don't let someone else's bondage disturb you at all. That's a maturity that you need to get to, especially if you have any form of mercy. And if you want mercy, you must give it. And so when you're bound, how much do you want to be kicked? You know? So don't kick the brother and sister to your right or left. Now, I said, let this be a non-conclusive proof list that the manipulation and bondage of demonic entities are inside you based upon the pattern of iniquity within your family line. You will understand more as you read further. There are innumerable manifestations in a human body representing the spiritual condition and physiological condition of the body, and these manifestations are proof that you are in bondage to a iniquity, whether you caused it or whether it is being visited upon you. And the reason for your bondage could be the iniquities of your ancestors and forefathers, and it could be your agreement with these iniquitous ways, and it's really up to you to find it out. Be a Berean, search it out. Any questions so far, Sister Sakina? Okay, going too fast, anybody? Hallelujah, you can put a go ahead if you need me to go ahead. And I remember, when I get these little pop-ups, I got to take a minute to take them down because I can't see the chat. Hold on just a second. So, thanks for tuning in. Again, we're talking about bloodline curses, and I don't want to go too fast so that you can retain, you know. There's a dynamic in speaking that you want the audience to retain. You don't want to just keep talking just because you feel like you got some kind of information. That's not ever the dynamic of the show, you know. I'm going to go to the next page, page 5. It talks about the scriptures being clear to the eyes and minds of a true Israelite. Okay, so the bondage has been given to us. It's kind of like if you reach out to your hand to the Father and he puts this box in your hand, and written all over the box it says bondage. And all of heaven can see this box. You know, you can hide it under your pillow and put it under your bed and stick it in your closet, but it just never leaves you. It's been given to us. Why? Because we're a stiff-necked and rebellious people, bound by the curses of the forefathers' sin that we perpetuated when we lacked submission. Psalms 51:5 says, David says, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. All right, so this is, you're born into a war. It says, what impact has your father's iniquity had on your life? And maybe you know the answer. Maybe you don't. What impact did your mother's sin have upon your conception? One has to engage in the fight, his or her own fight for freedom, to answer those questions. And you can get answers that are really private and intimate to you. I mean, just almost like life-changing, blow-your-mind answers. You know, you be up at night thinking about it, ain't got nobody to call. You know, it's like, it's you and only you. Like, man, you putting puzzle pieces together, and the Father's giving you answers, and like, wow, you know, I did this. My Father did that. Wow, my mom, you know. So the tools, we got the tools. So the majority of the Western religious world, supreme Christians, right, and believers of the Creator, they don't realize that the impact of their actions, what they actually have on their descendants, and this is not ignorance. This is not common ignorance, this Straightway Truth Ministry. We actually know the impact your actions have upon your descendants. Very fearful. A common question amongst Straightway soldiers in the Army of Yah would be, is the issue in my mind and body a result of me and my thoughts and my actions, or is it a generational curse passed down to me from my ancestors before me, right? You know, how do you know? You got a thought. You think it's you. If you say it's not you, then what is it? Is it my mind, my body, my thoughts, my actions? Is it my ancestors, right? So this is a question that everyone should be asking when you're inquiring about mental anguish. But remember, by asking yourself that question, it's not to drive you crazy not knowing an answer. The Father is the supreme authority, our judge of our court, and he will give you the answer when he wants to. So you seek, you pray, you wait. And so when you're inquiring about mental anguish and bodily disease and torment, I reference John 9:2 because the disciples asked Jesus about a blind man. They said, Master, who sinned? This man? His parents? Which one? That he was born blind. So see, they knew, like, where's the sin? So you want to be able to ask this question to your heart concerning some of your infirmities and your ailments. By all means, this is not a diagnosis, so maybe you won't have to ask yourself this every time. This is another dynamic of hearing. Remember, you hear this newsletter and you apply it where it fits, and you don't get religious or vainly repetitious. You just stash this knowledge like a sponge. You stash it on your shelf and you apply it when you need it. So you can say, did I sin? You can say, did my parents sin? But I hope that you would agree and know that you were born into the iniquities of your ancestors. You should know that by this point. So I wanted to look at the, I'm on page 6 now, the word iniquity. Think about it. In the scriptures, it's there. I, Yahweh, your Elohim, I'm a jealous El, visiting the iniquity. Think about that. Iniquity is used in the Hebrew and in the Strong's Concordance. And I'm going to read that verse with interchangeable meanings. For I, Yahweh, your Elohim, am a jealous El, visiting the punishment of the fathers. I, Yahweh, your Elohim, am a jealous El, visiting the faults of your fathers. I, Yahweh, your Elohim, am a jealous El, visiting the mischief of your fathers. I, Yahweh, your Elohim, am a jealous El, visiting the perversity of your fathers. So this verse simply proves that Yahweh, our Elohim, will allow the iniquity of your father to prevail in you, you being the child of the third and fourth generations of the ones that hated him, your love for him is not the determining factor here, okay? So it's not I love him so much that I'm free. It's the fact that the hatred of my ancestors allowed iniquity to manifest in or around me, okay? I'm not talking about sin tonight, which is blatant rebellion or a choice that you make to do what you do. I'm just meaning the unexplainable things around you. So again, because he visits iniquity, and he pays, he makes you pay for the iniquity of the fathers and to the bosom of the children. You also must consider the law of iniquity's application in your own family and the role that you play. So for understanding the sins of your great-grandfather and the sins of your great-great-grandfather are visited on you now. Okay, that's that verse. Because he says to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, so a man that you potentially never met or knew has his iniquitous behavior or faults, mischief, manifest somehow or visited upon you. Do you understand a just Yah? So your own iniquity will continue the same way. It will curse the bloodline you produce, especially you know as a male, for the next 3 to 4 generations after you. So your hatred of Elohim will be proven by the ailments, the sinful nature, the torments of your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and your great-great-grandchildren. And with clarity, your moral evil is a result of ancestral moral evil, but your moral evil will impact the next 4 generations. Pretty fearful, right, Tammy? But remember, as we understand this, it's to keep us walking upright in a righteous fear, not an ungodly fear. If you fear your oppressor, you fear hostile times, then you'll be serving him. All right, so I'm jumping around here in the newsletter, but it says there are many trespasses and sins committed within the heart of a man that within the law there was found no stipulations for natural death or stoning. Okay? I'm going to slow this down and let me know, Chef, if anything pops up like a question or even in your own heart, the way you hear. So the law for the iniquity inside a man is clear. It will be visited on the children. And when the iniquity of a father is visited on a child, it's a punishment without natural death. Now, again, all iniquity does not warrant natural death. Okay, this I'm just going by old. I'm just trying to bring down a misconception that every man's sin affects only himself, you know, or Romans 8, you know, the law of sin and death and how much everything has just been done away with, how the come to Jesus moment is just so freeing and so clear, you know. Sin is committing an act that potentially once required death or it required atonement according to our sacrificial laws that was stated in the Torah. So before Christ, the blood atonement of an animal sacrifice within the Torah was the payment for sin, was the only payment for sin. And the sacrificial ceremonies of atonement were continued year to year for Israel. Sin that was not worthy of death was the payment also of a bullock or a specified animal. Y'all ever read the law? Right? So if you didn't get stoned, but you had sin, who's coming to get atoned sin? Those who weren't stoned to death. Right? So you're coming and you're paying. You're giving a payment. And so the payment of that blood would clear the debt that the lawless act you had committed or your family committed had acquired, you know. So the animal offering was accepted because the law for that sin did not require death as punishment. Hope we understand that. And since the death and the atonement of Christ, our sin debt requiring death has been deemed and paid for. You understand that? I no longer shall die, but live. I'm free. I'm free from the law of sin and death. His atonement paid for that. All right? And that atonement has once and for all set each of us free from the natural death punishment of our sins that was foreordained in the law. Animal sacrifices are no longer required for payment and for forgiveness of sin. So moral evil is your wicked thoughts. And it's a continual fight to accept, is it not? Continual fight, Tammy? To accept the nature of Christ and reject the nature of sin and mortal evil that's within you or around you. It's a continual fight. I heard our brother Rob say that, a daily fight. Iniquity becomes punishment to your children. if it remains unconfessed and undealt with inside of you. The moral evil, or if I can say the iniquity, is visited upon your children. You're not guiltless, and once saved, always saved. You're just not. So if you have any questions, you know you can go to Romans 8 for the law of sin and death. But I'm talking about the law of iniquity because this understanding differentiates the two. So the law of sin and death and the law of iniquity are different. And the law of iniquity that I'm talking about is still in effect after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Did all sin and iniquity stop? No. And so your body and your mind is evident proof of the law of iniquity visiting you. And while understanding the difference between sin and iniquity, there is no more question that if a man commits a fault according to the law, he was punished by the law. And the guilty party was at times killed. Right? I know I'm going to move on in just a second. The guilty party was at times killed in order to remove the evil from all of Israel. But, you got a question? You want to write it down? Okay, let's see. Once we've gone to the Father for our own sins, do we, this is a question in the chat room, do we then do the same for our children, even if we don't see any manifestation within them, or has the curse been severed by my own confessions and pleading the blood of Jesus? I don't know a definite answer, but I'm going to give you a well-rounded direction, okay? Because I would never misdiagnose someone's family. That would never be my intention or my job. If you're repenting for sins and you're covering your sins by the blood of Jesus, you want to automatically include your children in your prayers. No one else is praying for them, you know, more than you. Curses wait for years to manifest. So you definitely don't want to misjudge a circumstance now, you know. Well, what if I don't know what curses my children may be bound from? What if I don't know what curses I'm bound from? Well, we've always taught it's okay, not with vain repetition, but it is okay to break curses off of you for sins that, hey, forgive my ancestors for adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. I mean, forgive me. Forgive me for my ancestors' idolatry, witchcraft, and hatred. You know, forgive me for my ancestors who were envious, murderers, drunken, rebelling, right, revelings. Strifes or seditions or heresies, everything they believed, everything that's visited upon me, forgive my children. So it's like, it's the dynamic of our communication to the Father, that we pour out our heart like water, that you want to cover them so that these things aren't, or let's say, you don't know what temptation is going to visit them. All temptation is allures away, right? It comes from sin. Sins, the transgression of the law. So you might not know all the dynamics. You might not ever have all the answers, but what you do is you have a pure heart, a clean confession, you know, no vain repetition, just a sincere cry for the severity of the sins that you have committed and what your forefathers have done, praying that your children not be affected. So please include that dynamic in your prayers as a mother. Praying if there be something that binds them, that, you know, their father, that it would be revealed to their father, that their father would lead them, that their father would understand it, really lifting the man up like that. But it says, I say here, the iniquity of the heart that did not commit an outward trespass requiring death by law appeared to remain undealt with in Torah. What I mean by is you go in the Torah, and there's hundreds of questions. People used to snare us all the time, like, well, what about this and what about? And what does the Torah say about? And you can't find it here and you can't find it there. Right. But the fruit on earth proves, the law of iniquity proves that I don't got to have a Leviticus or Deuteronomy Bible search to find your question. Because the fruit of that action is proving to you that it's not supported by our Creator. And so that's what I meant by, it looks like these things were undealt with in Torah, but it was and is dealt with according to the law of iniquity. And so once mischief or iniquity was conceived, or it once it's conceived in the heart of a man or woman, that crookedness, being not confessed, defiles the vessel. And when iniquity is conceived in the heart of a man, it'll show up in the actions that he does, the speech. I say he, but I'm meaning in general, you know, a human being. It'll show up in the actions she does. It'll bring torment and bodily disruptions. And that conceived iniquity inside him will bring the works of the flesh. There's an endless repercussion of payment that you will experience. So let's reflect on verse proof that if your thoughts are undealt with, they'll bring about sin. Deuteronomy 15:9 says, beware that there be not a thought in your wicked heart saying, I'm going to pause. What it's about to say is not relevant to you, okay? So you would have to say, beware that a thought be in your wicked heart that was about an animal, a bestiality. Beware that there be not a thought in your wicked heart towards hating your sister. Or beware that there's not an accusation or thought in your wicked heart against your shepherd, right? That's what yours might say. In this dynamic in Deuteronomy, what is written, it says, beware that there be not a thought in your wicked heart that says the seventh year, the year of release is at hand, which we know, if y'all understand a little bit about the law, was the end of bondage or servitude for a Hebrew man or Hebrew woman, Hebrew family. It says, when that time comes, beware that there was not a thought in your wicked heart and your eye be evil against your poor brother and you give him nothing. Why? Because by law something was required. So don't get caught up in that. I just want to make clarity because it says, he cry unto Yahweh against you, that man cry unto Yahweh and it be sin unto you. So you have this man crying out, being done wrong, and it is sin to you. And we should be careful how we treat one another. Paul even wrote concerning character traits of iniquitous man and what could be inside the heart. Okay, and he wrote in 2 Peter 2:14 that he was talking about iniquitous men who had children that were paying the price of their actions. So the children were paying the price of the father's actions. 2 Peter 2:14 said, they having eyes full of adultery, they cannot stop or cease from sin. They beguile unstable souls and a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, because they have eyes of adultery, because they can't stop from sin, because they beguile unstable souls, because they have a heart that has covetous practices, they curse their children. Paul knew. Paul referenced all the works of the flesh that I mentioned to each of you earlier. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. They're these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, idolatry, witchcraft. So when Yah, or when Jesus died, is there no more adultery, no more fornication? There's no more witchcraft, no more hatred, no more strife. He died, he removed all sin, right? No more heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, it's all gone. Paul says, I've told you in times past that they that do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of Yah because they're still there. Right? Simply put, iniquity curses children. All right, moving on. It says, each of us bear the iniquity and temptation of our father, and the Most High Yah oversees the iniquity by depositing that iniquity of your fathers into you by his just and holy ordained law. This iniquity is not automatically atoned for by the sacrifice of Yeshua's blood. And the law of iniquity is the visitation or the deposited moral evil that's inside of you, and you are the payment for your forefathers' iniquity. It sounds unjust. It's not. It's perfect. It's perfect. So his ways are past finding out, and his ways are higher than our ways. So your sin can be washed, and your iniquity can remain. Christianity will not teach you that. Jesus spilled his blood so that the law of sin requiring death would no longer be a requirement for us, but his law is righteous, just, and holy, and all moral evil is not, that's not written even within the law as a payment for it. It's still within his law, right? We talked about that on the show before. Everything that the Father said is not just in 66 chapters in a book called the Bible. There's an entire spiritual realm that operates by a law you don't even know about, right? You don't think the angels have a law sitting back wishing and waiting for you to pray? You know? So all iniquitous behavior that opposes his law doesn't have to be written or read for one to know that his law has been broken. So your guilt in breaking his law of iniquity is also the moral evil manifested by the fruit of bondage in you. That makes sense, Sakina? Okay, so one must still abide by the law or else he will be condemned by the law. So this explains our immoral society, that each man, woman, and child alive on earth is carrying the spiritual law of iniquity in their being, whether they're free or not. And that's why it's so awesome to be free, because no man can bind you. Once you experience great freedom and peace and you go along this journey of deliverance, you get freer and freer and freer from all these things, peace that passes all understanding. And it makes you compatible with some and completely incompatible with others. The human nature of most so-called believers looks only for what is written within a text or within the Bible to prove or disapprove the continuance of his or her behavior. So whatever's written, that's it, nothing else, you know. So when a verse is not found to disprove their belief or their action or their function, then they got an automatic free pass to sin, so they think. And when you don't find a verse to support your behavior, you automatically justify your behavior, or so some do, right? Okay, so next. I talked about the progenitor or the patriarchy. I'll briefly discuss that our law was given to the forefathers of our faith, and our ways were derived from the commanded order of Yah. So the man is the steward over his family. He is responsible for his family and their iniquity. What does that mean? Too deep to go into, but he's responsible for putting a stop to the iniquitous behaviors of his family. He carries a very weighty burden. So the burden of iniquity is lifted or progressive by the actions of the father. That's why our men had to step away from her, put her away, you know. Nehemiah put the commandment out for women to be put away. You know, there's always a dynamic of separation because you're making a stand. So his iniquitous behavior affects the entire house. Y'all know the earth swallowed entire families when number 16 talked about how Yahweh would make a new thing, and that new thing was the earth opening her mouth and swallowing everyone up and everything that appertained unto Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. So before that, there was no entire family falling into earth. Before that, it was every man, you know, stoned for his own sin. That was the new thing. But anyway, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, Isaiah 55 says, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So sometimes you'll get questions about the mother, which is why I put here, you know, if the iniquities of your father are visited upon you, then what about the sins of your mother? Well, that's simple. Does the iniquity of your mother pass down? And in short, the answer is yes, because in perspective, a mother's iniquity passes down because she had a father with iniquity. It's the father's iniquity that she's bound by. And it's the even great-grandfather's iniquity that she's bound by. So, yes, American women, you can do whatever you want, but the law of iniquity still binds you for life. It follows you no matter where you are. It doesn't matter if you leave, separate, take your head cover off, peace out, deuces, put the jeans on, high heels, say what you want, curse if you want. You're tormented in and out. In and out. You can't get free. Go your separate way. So I'll skip a little bit about that, but remember Genesis 3:6, and to the woman he said, I'll greatly multiply your sorrow, and it is multiplied, that is for certain. In sorrow you will bring forth children, and your desire will be to your husband, he shall rule over you. So a woman is subject to the iniquity of her father because she's the seed of a man. She can display nature contrary to her husband, but he's the judge and the priest of the house. If she chooses to progress in the iniquity, and he allows her defilement to continue, then the law of iniquity persists, you know. So it's, I don't get into the dynamics of the how or the what's, and I keep saying the diagnosis. That's not our job at all. It's just, that's just the dynamic. This is the created family perspective. It's a very powerful force, the family is, you know. Just like a woman who would vow a vow unto Yah and bind herself to the bond, being in her father's house, if the father was to hear her vow, then her bond would be, it would not stand. And if her husband disallowed her, it wouldn't stand. You know, if you know about Numbers 30. So these things are still alive. I know we might not consider them or see them or hear them or think about it, but we're returning to this. This is our people. At one time, our people would proclaim that the Holy One of Israel is the God of all of our fathers. And a righteous covenant was declared and sworn to the fathers of Israel. Could you imagine when it was initiated, this beautiful law? It's just like it being initiated to us. It's the same kickback. You know, it's no different than when the law was first given, because it's being given now to a people for the first time, and their head's spinning, you know. And this righteous covenant was declared, and the agreement terms were made, and there once was a great separation between what was holy and profane, you know, a definite difference between what was good and evil. There was a very set-apart nation, and there was many, many defiled nations. And today, with sadness, I have to say, we can't testify that our natural fathers served the Creator or that our natural fathers lived by His everlasting covenant. Hopefully, you know, if Yah doesn't return, our children's children would be so free because of us, because of what we're doing. That's why I've told mothers before, it's worth all the pain you're experiencing to change, to accept, to continue to walk, to pray, no matter what you feel, all the breaking, the molding, all that. It's worth it because you're sparing someone else. And so regardless of your father's skin color or his tribal affiliation, the truth was that your father, our fathers, defied Israel's law and spurned his covenant agreement. And there was, y'all know, my melanated brothers and sisters, there's been a great effort by Satan to destroy the name of Israel and all the truth. Psalms 83. The enemies are literally making a tumult. They are literally getting together. They that hate you lift up their heads and take crafty counsel against us as a people. They consult against us. They say, let's cut them off from being a nation. That's the type of hate. Can you imagine the type of hate that the son of perdition will have? The Antichrist himself? The type of disdain? If he can initiate bestiality, homosexuality, he hates the remnant. So, rebellion. Let's talk about it. Any questions?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. You'll have to help me out. We're going to the chat room. I'm going to move this out of the way, Chef. Help me out. Come here, please. You know, we do this all the time. Like, where is the ex? She's got to come find the ex. Y'all bear with me. I hope this has helped y'all. Just initiate some good thoughts, some really good thoughts. Hope no one is heavy. This is really good information. It's nice to know you can get so free just by communicating to the Father. All right, so here we go. How can I put in application? 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7. We'll post that verse in the chat room and I'll see if I can help her at all. I will see. I've been taught by great men. I have a great husband. We have great dialogue. I've been taught by a great shepherd, the men of the ministry, the teachers, even Brother Daniel, the dynamic of Lion's Den, everything that's shared within the ministry. I'm still learning. I'm still being taught. I have a very dedicated prayer life, and I hope that I'm helping, and I know with what I've gained, I can testify to each of y'all, and you can get there. You can get farther than you ever imagined. You can get so free, you know. Rebellion. The statutes and laws of our Hebrew nation fell quickly from oral traditions, which were once given, into forgotten words and meaningless commands, right? Our fathers did not serve Yahweh. Our fathers were idolaters, and the lust of our fathers we have surpassed. Now, I'm going to give some verses that prove, and you can actually do worse than your father. I know you know that, but I'm going to give the dynamics of it being written that you can do worse than your father. Okay? Elder Rufus did an excellent teaching on this very thing. Hallelujah. If you have that link or share it, she said, let me find the link. 2 Chronicles 33:9 says, so Manasseh made Judah, don't worry about the names, just pay attention to the dynamic of the word worse, okay? Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen, whom Yahweh had destroyed before the children of Israel. Jeremiah 7:26 says, yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck, and did worse than their fathers. Jeremiah 16:12, you have done worse than your fathers. Behold, you walk everyone after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. Jeremiah 17:1, the sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron, with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their hearts and upon the horns of your altars. So let's look at an example of our people falling away from the Holy One of Israel without record that they ever returned. Judges 2:12 says they forsook the Elohim of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they followed other Els, which is other mighty ones. And the Els of the people that were round about them, they bowed themselves unto them, and they provoked Yahweh to anger. Yet they would not hearken unto their judges. They went whoring after other Els. They bowed themselves upon them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, that obeyed the commandments of Yahweh, and they did not do so. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers. They ceased not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn ways. So remember, our command is to turn from iniquity. I'm on page 15 in the newsletter. It says you cannot do this if you blame someone else that hurts you, or if you blame your mother and your father for what has happened in your life. Because you know, as you get into revealing iniquity or revealing, what I mean by revealing is when you get into repentance and Yah will move upon you, the Holy Spirit will bring things to your attention and to your memory and to your mind to confess. And when he does this, you can't blame your mother and father for what's happened in your life without accepting your own responsibility for sin. You cannot be free by accepting that sin and rebellion is occurring around you but not inside of you. You are also guilty of rebelling and hating Yahweh at some point in your life, absolutely. And the payment that you're receiving for your thoughts and your actions is according to his just, holy, and righteous law of iniquity. And it's a law of love that would bring you back to him. It's payment. It is torment. No man escapes his law. The law in its entirety is written on the table of our hearts. You know what to do and not to do. You should. The law binds us to the covenant of Yah in action and in deed. And the covenant that was given to the progenitors and the forefathers of our faith, which are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Jeremiah 31 says, this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, said Yahweh, I will put my law in your inward parts, write it in your hearts. I will be your Elohim. They shall be my people. So when you bump up against somebody who is white, according to the flesh, or of a different hue that you have once before rejected, but yet they have the law that binds them to the covenant of Yah in action and in deed, how can you kick? By writing his law in our hearts, you now can know that the iniquity and the contrariness towards Yah was in your flesh. And with his law written on your heart, it's easier to understand that your body is a barometer to the spirit realm, like Pastor teaches us. So there is hope for you. It says here, we are living in the latter days, far removed from tribal traditions of inheritance, far removed from natural birthrights and our Israelite cultures. So we are far removed from the privilege to say that Yahweh is the Elohim of our fathers. See, some men in the book and women and tribes were able to say that Yahweh is the Elohim of our fathers. But a damnable, abominable thought and culture has robbed the fathers of the right that they have to be supreme in their home and over their family. And we've been steeped into the sins of our natural fathers serving other mighty ones and choosing whichever way we wanted to live and go. So we've agreed with other cultures that allow their minds to be raped. We have denied the covenant of our forefathers of faith. We had previously entered into covenant with Yah. We had not previously entered into covenant with Yah properly or even legally. Our cup is running over with moral evil and mischief and iniquity. We're a generation denying the rights of a father in his house. We are the seed of an unrighteous father who served other mighty ones and committed endless sins. And at this pivotal point in time, you're afforded the opportunity to seek, pray, follow, and embrace the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who was and is to come. And by his mercy, you can have his visitation of iniquity removed from your life. Yahweh, our Elohim, knows the sins and failures, iniquities, and infirmities of our fathers. We are not all tempted by the same things, but I'll give you a quote from Pastor Dow. It's on page 16 of the newsletter. There are innumerable temptations with the same goal, sin. You are tempted and enticed, drawn away by your own lust. You know what someone in your family has done treacherously by the lust you were and are tempted by. Your father and ancestors were without a shepherd and were greatly tempted by Satan to sin. Do you continue in your father and mother's iniquity? Drugs, alcohol addiction, sugar addiction. Satan has a legal right to afflict you. All right, end of quote. But confess your iniquity and without controversy declare that your ancestors did not guard the commandments of the holy living Elohim and you can be free. Now there's deliverance from bloodline sins and there are different prayers. Please go to straightwaytruth.com and see those. It walks you through exactly like a formed prayer, if I can say that, because I want, you know, each of us need to be free in our prayer closet. People say, I don't know how to pray and I don't know what to say, but you know how to communicate. You know how to call somebody on the phone and talk for hours. You know how to type a text into a social media network. And so you should be able to communicate to the Father. It's Abba, Father. I come before you, the judge of all things. I enter into your presence through the blood of Jesus Christ. I confess this, this, and this, and this, and this. I renounce this, and this, and this. I worship you and you alone. I cancel everything against me, accusations and things that Satan brings against me. I loose the blood of Jesus to cover me and protect me and my family in Jesus' name. I thank you for setting me free, and you praise him, and you thank him. And then the next time you do it again for the next sin or the next iniquity, right? So pastors already moved through these. You know, the men of Yah, you know, 25, 30 years into this thing, they move through this. It doesn't mean you get to a place where things stop. Now I'm going to do this is funny. So remember when I was like, hey, Pastor, do you if I toss together this pamphlet about this experience I had in deliverance? I think it would teach, you know, it would share with other sisters. Maybe I could pass it out at the tabernacles or the feast day. And he's like, just throw it in the newsletter. Right, so I sit down to put this experience in a newsletter, and I was like, it's just a little short story with absolutely no background. So I wanted to, you know, I pray and ask the Father, like, man, with the opportunity to write a newsletter for a Straightway Truth ministry, which is a deliverance ministry, might I add, is a huge responsibility to represent what I've been taught. So everything that I've shared prior to this moment right now is me building up to the very small portion of this newsletter, which is the story, which is what I was going to do at first, okay? So I got, 16 minutes left in the show. I want to share this story, and I'm going to wrap it up. So can we go to a ministry break? Y'all bear with me. If you have enjoyed the show, please type something in the chat room. Give a big hallelujah if you've learned anything or if it's, you know, sparked you to get freer. I promise you the Hasatan hates messages like this. Hates it. So we hate him with a perfect passion and hatred too. All right, we'll be right back. Listen to our beloved and beautiful song from the Straightway Sisters, and I'll see you in a minute. Talk to you in a minute.
Come together, the church. hebreer från Sverige och jag älskar min straightway-stam och mina systrar.
Finland.
Och en hebrealan.
Halleluja, we'll save that for the end. Glory. All right, so I'm going to share a story. And of course, 90% of the time, I communicate to someone before I share their experience, even if I'm going to share it anonymously, just wanting to uphold integrity and let them know they can trust me and give a heads up, like, can I use this? Can I use your email? Can I speak? Sometimes I don't, because it's that automatic, like, I'm using this as a tool. This is great. And, you know, you don't have to have that communication. So this sister approved her experience, and it's really worth sharing. And there's so many more details, just like all my sisters, if they had an opportunity to testify from beginning to end of what the Father's done along their deliverance journeys, you know, sometimes it's hard to even retain. So there is more to it, but let me get to it. All right, Christ stated in John 8:39, if you were the children of Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. This ministry is filled with the works of Abraham and with the proof that our Creator supports our works. Greater is He that is doing the works, and our faith without our works would be dead. I reference a true deliverance account at this point. I will share only what is necessary for me to share. As a deliverance ministry, we maintain integrity and withhold the names of those once in bondage but are now free. I will refrain from any details that may jeopardize my sister in her fight for continued freedom, and in this account, her name has been changed. Amy came to Straightway for freedom from insomnia and mental instabilities, including, but not limited to, fear, pride, anxiety, and depression. Through her fight for freedom, many spirits have revealed themselves, including self-hatred, rejection, bitterness, Jezebel, control, insanity, double-mindedness, and schizophrenia. During private deliverance sessions, demons have spoken out of her, revealing their locations within her body and how they entered. Pause for a moment for anyone who's listening that doesn't understand deliverance. When a spirit is manifesting in someone because you are casting it out by the blood of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, when you come against it with the power of that blood, not to be belittled, by the way, by the entire culture and Christianity that mocks the blood by not using it correctly. This blood, when it is applied, will stir up the enemy or the evil spirit. And evil spirits can and have spoken out with different voices using the vocal cords of the vessel of the human being, but using their tone and their words. It is very powerful. It's very interesting dynamic to deliverance. You don't have to believe, but we are believers, and we do these works often. Okay, so I just wanted to pause a little bit for that. So you must understand it is written that Jesus himself did it. It's all throughout the Gospels. So back to here, it says one particular spirit revealed its entrance was from her grandfather's experience in World War II. That was proof example number one that the law of iniquity was in effect. She was being tormented because of her father's actions and agreements. I'm sorry, grandfather's, right? And agreements in a world war that she didn't serve in. At another private deliverance meeting, a spirit spoke out of her body using her voice, using her vocal cords, and spoke, revealing his entry point. And the reason for demonic entry this time was her forefather's involvement in Freemasonry. This Freemasonry activity of her forefathers clearly is not her sin, but a demonic presence inside her has proven her father's iniquity is once again legally allowed to be present inside of her. Proof example number two was that the law of iniquity is in effect by a man's affiliation with a Masonic lodge. And remember, this is a woman that did not know of his participation and his sins until a demon revealed it. So she's not going to know much about World War II. It's 2021, or maybe it was 2019 when we were doing deliverance. She's not going to know much about Masonic lodge. She's never been in one. Get it? So her father is alive, and at this point, she contacted him for details and discovered that he was involved in atomic bomb testing, and also he was involved in the military. These demons within her were telling the truth that her conscience was not ever aware of. And time again, these spirits began to reveal more. She was set free from mental instabilities connected to other siblings. Her family's history of Catholicism was a huge entrance point and open door for demons to oppress her. Religious Catholic spirits and rituals allowed demons to afflict her and now were being cast out of her by her confessions of her father's iniquities and the iniquities of her ancestors. I have personally worked with this sister to help her in her journey for freedom, and many times things are revealed in deliverance sessions that neither she nor I was aware of prior to the session. I have heard the spirits that were once inside of her declare things like, "I am in her DNA." And of course it would say it in a voice that was not hers. While commanding Leviathan to loose her spine in Jesus' name, Leviathan proclaimed to me, "I am in the last vertebrae." Now pause for a minute. Ever since I've been casting out Leviathan, ever since then, I lay my hand in the same spot on every person, and it pisses that spirit off. I placed my hand at the base of her spine and her tailbone, and he slithered inside her body, literally like a snake, and she, her body, was slithering like a snake on the floor. Where was I at? And it says, that is before he came out. I've heard Insomnia say, "I'm not coming out of her colon today." This spirit compromised his position and revealed his location, and by the power and blood of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, he came out of her colon that day. Now, before Insomnia exited, I said, "How long have you afflicted her? Did you come in at birth?" Now, yeah, this is going to floor you if you haven't read the newsletter. Insomnia turns her head towards me and gets like nose to nose, glares at me from her eyes, and they don't blink. And this spirit said, "Conception. I came in at conception." Sassy. So I said, this is proof example number 3 that the law of iniquity is in effect. She was born with ailments, torments, and diseases from birth. You know what conception is? Do we know how early conception is? My adult married family. Definitely the result of another man's sin deposited into her. Now, demons are a direct result of violating the law of iniquity because of her moral iniquity. She is being visited by them, and she was in debt and had a payment. And it was what? Demonic oppression. So she has confessed the iniquity of her forefathers. She's been set free from much demonic oppression and demonic presence in her body. With every confession, with every deliverance, she'd offered sacrificial change necessary, which was turning from her ways and giving all praise and glory to the Most High Yah. I shared Leviticus 26. "They that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquity in your enemy's land, and also in the iniquities of their fathers shall they pine away. If they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass, which they trespass against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, that I also have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humble, and they then accept the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I will remember the land." Wrapping it up, and not much left, y'all. Thank you for enduring tonight. Hallelujah. I have so many stories of deliverance of women like this, but anyway, it says, "Without controversy, scriptures prove that there are curses placed on the children of the next generation." Daniel 9:16 says, "Oh Yah, according to thy righteousness, I beseech you, let your anger and your fury be turned away from the city of Jerusalem, the holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers." I really enjoyed, and I thought it was too long to include in the newsletter, it was Samuel's prayer. Man, he really, I put in here, please read 1 Kings chapter 8. There was some more meditations that you can glean from that, because Solomon proclaimed the righteous deeds of his father David. And so by his communication to the Allah Yahweh in prayer about his righteous father David, it is like unheard of, because who's going to pray that, you know? Ashley Miles, you're always coming to my spirit. Ashley Miles is not going to get on her knees. Ashley Bell, me, I'm not going to get on my knees and talk about how holy and righteous my father was, you know? We just can't do that. We know it'd be nonsense, you know? It's like your spirit inside you knows what your mind don't know. That's the power of the heavenly kingdom. So let's remember and reflect on the mercy of the thousands of those who have had our iniquity forgiven, who have had our transgression and our sins cleansed from the body, and we're still on a great journey. I gave some resources. These were some of my favorite at the time when I was, you know, putting this together. There's 8 videos. Thank you for the links. They are made easy. If you go to this newsletter and you go to page 20, Brother Steve, Sister Wenda, and the dynamic that they work together, they put the links that I wanted. Like, I gave them the dates and the titles of the preachings, but they actually put the links into the newsletter. And each of these talk about one of them in particular. Basically, all of them are iniquities of the fathers. You're going to glean more if this is something that you want to listen to. So there's 8 preachings. Some of them are over 2 hours long. Some of them under an hour. So that's a long journey. It's a long time. So be merciful to yourself if it's something you want to listen to. Just take your time with it, but be proactive. Tap, tap, tap. Hallelujah. That law. Hallelujah, Alex. So Exodus 34, remember, keeping mercy, hallelujah, for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting iniquity. I remember that verse. Guess what? As free as we are now, we can't forget to glorify him for the freedom that we have now in our minds, because we could not have gotten it without his sovereignty, without our confession. We can't ever walk about as a haughty creation. We could be so annihilated, crushed, squeezed by the Hasatan, like Nebuchadnezzar, who was forced into the wilderness for 3 years till he grew hair and nails like talons, just to be broken, just to know that the Most High was a mighty Elohim, you know? We should continually bow our knees now and never forget to respect your oppressor, but don't fear. Don't fear Satan. Fear the Most High. And I did at the end of the newsletter, I must say it here. It will be ignorant to write anything as if I'm a source of knowledge without giving thanks and credit to my mentors and accrediting their studies, which have directly benefited me. Special thanks to my only head and master, Jesus Christ, living and working inside of my master on earth, Deacon Douglas Bell, Pastor Charles Dow Jr., and even Pastor Corey Phillips, who had a very pivotal I'll tell a short story. I got in line one feast years ago, and I cannot tell you all the details, so you just got to follow me. I got in line, and I went up to, you don't know who you're going to go to, and the line's at Straightway. You're going up for healing. Typically, there's an ailment or healing or disease in your body, and you're going up for it this time. I don't want everybody doing this unless Yah's leading you, okay? I'm using this example because Yah placed this upon my heart, and if he places it on yours, you do it, but don't just do it mechanically. But I go up, and I actually get, passed over to Pastor Corey, and I said, I need a yoke broken off of me because of the iniquity of my father. There's some very demonic things in my father's side. I could do, 4 shows about that entire dynamic, just like some of you guys could talk, forever about the iniquities of your forefathers. And there was a particular connection that was still in me, and I just asked for help breaking this yoke. And, my husband insisted that I do that because I prayed and fasted and prayed and fasted and prayed and fasted, not religiously, but over the course of years, trying to get to the bottom of something. And when, step by step, things were revealed along the way. And he said, I'll think on it. I'm thinking maybe he would, lay hands on me. I didn't know. He maybe just command this thing to loose me. I don't have enough time to, teach or show you or talk to you guys about the dynamic of what the Spirit would say and do.
but I was powerless against it. And anyway, he came to me that night. We were in the dining hall, and he said, hey, I got something in my spirit. And basically we talked, and of course, you know, what he had gotten in his spirit was perfect, on point, things that he wouldn't know, you know, that it was directly related to my father. I had not told him that. He wanted me to provide a little bit of a general background of information about it, and I did. And he committed 3 a.m. every morning for 7 days, waking up in prayer, going before the Father on my behalf. And that is a main reason why he is getting a special thanks in my freedom of you know, iniquity, or what's it called? Jesus, help me. Bloodline Curses newsletter. But, yeah, just the dynamic of having, you know, those men in my life. And I said thank you to these men for what I'm able to share has been attained through obedience to their directions. And Yahweh, by his sacrifice of Yeshua Jesus and with his Ruach inside of me, has granted me much freedom. I thank you to my Abba Father. I love you, all of Israel. My dearest and gracious Heavenly Father, I abide in your mercy forever. Hallelujah. And then a beautiful picture of Mother Jennifer and Mother Carol at the end. All this helps. I think sometimes just as, you know, faith come by hearing, you know, and I know you could read something this long. It could get monotonous. It is long. But I hope maybe hearing it has given you more insight, something to go on and grow on. Can you pick back up on our song and play that good ending for me? Or, hey, for Nadia's sake, we'll play the whole thing all over again. I love y'all, Israel. I hope you know that. I do every show for the Most High Yah. And bless all of Georgia and all of Tennessee who are gathering together. Hey, if you're coming to visit us this Shabbat, we'll be eating in the dining hall down the hill.
Yay.
We will fit. And Mother, Pastor, his family, they said it's fine. Pastor said it's fine. So we'll eat in the dining hall. And then as far as the dynamics of any live videos, I have not been shared or been told that information, so stay close to, you know, Pastor's informative videos. Will he go live in Georgia? Will we go live here? All that will be answered soon and very soon. Will he have a blog talk tomorrow? Don't know. Will we have a Lion's Den? Don't know. We would hope for all of it, right? We all feel the impact when we miss each of those dynamics if any show is ever canceled. Hey, I'm enjoying the brothers segment with the rotation. Always have. Bless you, community women and sisters. Endure. It's worth it. Prove to y'all you love him. Right? Stand strong. All right, let's hear our song. Mother Jennifer, end the show.
3.
It's Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone you can.
Alright, Nadia, this is for you.